Let's just bow our heads. Worthy is the Lamb who's slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. And Lord Jesus, we just thank you that that is so true and that we can be here today to learn from you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just pray that we will still our minds now, Lord, and we'll open our hearts and we can focus on you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning, everybody. It's quite hard to follow the venue, after hearing the Everyday Lives. I do enjoy Everyday Lives every week, and I was quite emotional. The one thing I can say is marrying a Welsh wife is a good thing, Nick. I think I can say the same with you, Taylor, as well, can't I? So that is a good thing. I also have a Welsh wife who's actually in Wales today. But there we are. But today we're talking on humbleness and a humble heart. And it's a challenging subject. It's a challenging subject to study and to prepare for. I think when I was asked to, I thought, yeah, I can talk on being humble. Yeah, okay, I think I'm all right. The truth is, you get to know that you're not humble, far from it. And in the modern day context of a world that really doesn't seem to like people being humble, if you look at our world, the way we judge each other on all levels, don't we? You know, we have our, you know, whether it's educationally or whether through our work or through our communities, being humble is not something that comes naturally to us, and that certainly seems to be the case. But why are we looking at it today? Well, we're starting a short sermon service through February, looking at how well we are doing with our relationships in our church family. If we stop to think about it, it's often our pride and our competitiveness that gets in the way and weakens our friendships. Even in the church and amongst Jesus' followers, that was true. You know what? We turn to Mark 9, we read from Mark 9 this morning, and we see, you know, what is true today was true 2,000 years ago. Let's just read those verses again. He said, "What are you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because they'd argued about who was the greatest. It's like, you know, it's like, do you know what? I was thinking this morning, it's all right with, sorry, George, I'm going to mention you now, so please forgive me. But it's all right when the kids are being noisy. You know they're okay, but when they go quiet, you know there's something going wrong. And it was the same here. It was like Jesus had absolutely got these guys. They'd gone quiet. He knew that they were up to no good. What are you doing? What are you asking him? Why were you being quiet? Why were you being quiet? They knew. It's like they were naughty school kids. They knew they'd done wrong. But he challenged them, but then he taught them. And I think, you know, we can say that. We can say that today. So through Jesus' mighty resurrection, that we know that Jesus is alive today, and that means that as he taught those disciples 2,000 years ago, he can teach us today, and so we can feel strong in that. So let's look at the Bible. Let's turn to the verses within the Bible, and let's listen to Jesus, and let's see what he can say in a modern day humility. What does Jesus say? What does he do? So, well, first thing he says is, "I myself walked a path of humility." We see in the Bible a humble Jesus, a God who leads by example. Firstly, he became man, a God who became man. In Philippians 2, verse 7, he said, "He made himself nothing, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, by being made in human likeness." So God becomes humble by becoming man. You know, let's face it, he was born in a manger. I mean, I do sort of look back to these three kings going to look for a new king, and you kind of think they must have been rocking up thinking, well, the palace must be pretty good, and there must be a very big party going on, and, you know, that's what their expectation is. And you know, it's not surprising that they needed a star to point them in the right direction, because what they found was not a palace, they found a manger, they found a cow stall. They didn't find this grand ceremony, they found something which was incredibly humble. So not only was Jesus born a man, but he was born in a very humble circumstances. you know, it wasn't a palace. But not only was he not born into a palace, he was born to a very humble family. You know, Joseph was a carpenter. You know, this is not what you would call royal in any, you know, you couldn't imagine sort of a new prince in this day and age being born into those circumstances. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, it says, For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake became poor, so that through his poverty we might become rich. And it went on. You know, towards the end of his life, he suffered abuse and shaming at the hand of powerful leaders. You know, this is not, he really humbled himself. And even his crucifixion, Philippians 2 verse 8 says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself obedient to death, even death on a cross. And the act of a crucifixion was a very humbling thing. It was invented for a very good reason. It wasn't just about killing people, it was actually trying to show and make an example of somebody's death. It was a very public thing. It didn't happen very quickly, it happened over a long period of time, and that whole purpose was there to not only... If you look at... Actually, it's interesting in Wikipedia, when you look up crucifixion, it said it was an execution, but it was also a humiliation. So even through his death, he was humiliated. So we have a really, truly humble God who's guiding us and teaching us through the way he lived his life here on. So Jesus is saying today, learn from my example. I myself walked a path of humility. He was completely humble. So point number two is, I'm calling you as followers to a path of humility. I'm calling all of us to a path of humility. And trust me, it is clear throughout the Bible. I, for your benefit, and I'm sure you'll go home and do all your homework later on, I've listed literally all, many, there's a sheet of paper here today for you to take away. All the points within the Bible, there's way, way, way too many. And the reality is you could actually write a book on humility, and actually R.T. Kendall, so if my sermon is no good, read this book because it's excellent. It's a very, 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 very good book, and anybody wants this, or you can have this one, it's fine. Power of Humility by R.T. Kendall, very, very worthwhile watching. But there is so much we can talk about. And the Bible starts talking about humility and goes right the way through. Right the way through the Bible, there is humility talked about. But we see in the Bible that God's people are called to be humble. And that same God calls us to be humble today. Micah 6, verse 8 says, "What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." It cannot be clearer, guys. Our God cannot be clearer to us in terms of what his expectations of us are. Romans 12, verse 3. "Do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment." Ephesians 4, verse 2. "Be completely humble. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." And in Mark 8, verse 34, Jesus is saying today, if you want to follow me, you must take up your cross and walk a path of humility. So being humble is really important to our God. It's incredibly important. But why is it important? It's important because it wants us to create space for us, for him to be able to bless us. My last point is, the Father in heaven truly blesses those who are humble. And we see again through the Bible, God blesses the humble. Jesus himself says in Luke 18, verse 14, "Those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." And if he wasn't clear on that, he then says it again in Luke 14:11, and the words are exactly the same. "Those who exalt themselves be humbled, and those be humble those who humble themselves will be exalted. He says it twice. The question is, are we humble? Are we truly humble? Are we humble with our friends, with our family, with each other, within our communities? Are we humble? Yes, a challenging subject. I tried really hard in the preparation of to be humble. And Karen, after about 2 days, said, "Why are you being so nice?" And about 5 days later, she said, "Well, that didn't last very long, did it?" It's hard. It's really, really hard. It's a nearly impossible task in our own strength. But you know what? I think we're called, and I think really the message is that we're called to take a step in the right direction. And it's today to take a step in the right direction. Step by step, small step by small step. You know, we've done something at work, which we've just won our Witch Awards. I'm trying not to be too proud and boast, but I'm really proud of it. You know, we just won it on Friday. And it was a huge task to achieve. And when we looked at it to start with, well, this is impossible. And the only way we did it was said, let's just give it a go and let's just try. Let's do a little step in there. And you know what? As we took another step, and we that huge impossible task was made possible by just breaking it down and doing a small step. So I think step in the right direction, small step by step, even small step by small step. But each step brings us closer to our wonderful God. But we don't do this alone. You know, that same God who was there to teach and guide those disciples is here to teach and guide us today. Psalm 23, he says, he guides us along the paths for his name's sake. So we have a promise of being guided. He promises that he will be there to do that walk, to do that step with us. And so here's the challenge. Maybe we need to start doing that. Maybe we need to start every day this week. Let's do that small step. And the thought that came through to me, and again, it was in here, and Kendall references, he starts his day with a verse in the Bible. And I love that idea, because I thought, well, that's something that we can all do. That's something that's really tangible, that you can just start that day. You know, maybe do Psalm 51, verse 10. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. What a wonderful thing to do this week. Let's say we can all do that. So I think in summary, we have a humble God. A God who's humble to us, who humbled himself. We've got a God who calls us to be humble. And a God who truly blesses us when we are humble. And I just, in conclusion, I just want to read this last passage. You know, John Newton was a slave trader. John Newton wrote, we sing it here so many times, Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace this morning comes from that. You know, it's got those ties to John Newton's word. You know, he lived a pretty horrific life. But he then went on to be a changed man. And the hymn writer's John Newton, and he worked with William Cowper, and they were close friends. And one morning they were reflecting on the words, "By the grace of God, I am what I am," which is 1 Corinthians verse 15, chapter 15, verse 10. And John Newton looked across the kitchen table and said to Cowper, "I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I want to be. I'm not what I hope to be. But thank God I'm not what I used to be." And I just pray that that be true for all of us today. In Jesus' name, amen.